I could not consent to a situation in which, after 2,000 years of our not having an army, we were finally coming to liberate Jerusalem on Pesach, the festival of our freedom, and we were going to feed our soldiers chametz on Pesach. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 191, Preparing for Pesach Under Siege. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. In February of 1948, a young rabbi by the name of Shlomo Goren was asked to come to meet with the Ashkenazic chief rabbi of the Holy Land, Rabbi Isaac Halevi Herzog. Rabbi Goren had volunteered to serve in the Haganah and the ongoing battle for Jerusalem, stationed right on the edge of the Katamon neighborhood in which Arab forces were located. Rabbi Herzog informed Rabbi Goren that he, the chief rabbi, had a different role for Rabbi Goren in mind. He wanted Rabbi Goren to take the position of chief rabbi of the army of the Jewish state that was coming into being. Rabbi Goren said no, because he, Rabbi Goren, wished to continue to fight for the state that was in the process of being born, and to continue to defend the Jews of the sacred city. Yet Rabbi Herzog did not take no for an answer. So Rabbi Goren tells us in his memoir, quote, "The third time I was summoned to Rabbi Herzog's home, they handed me an appointment letter from the chief rabbinate. The letter stated that I had been appointed by the chief rabbis of Israel, with their approval, to serve as the chief military rabbi of the Jewish forces in Eretz Yisrael. Still, they knew that this letter would not be enough, and that the appointment also needed the confirmation of the national headquarters of the Haganah, or the Jewish Agency, which was the supreme commander of the armed forces. In any event, they had already set this process in motion, while at the same time they continued to pressure me and tell me that I had no choice, that I could not leave the preparations for Pesach and the whole matter of kosher food in the army without someone to oversee it. There were 17 Haganah positions in Jerusalem itself, and they all needed to be prepared for Pesach, for the prayer services, and for all the religious needs of the soldiers. None of these had been prepared or organized. Since they continued to pressure me, and out of a sense of responsibility, I offered them a compromise. I said that I would be willing to accept the appointment, but on the condition that I could continue guarding my post at night." End quote. Thus did this man serve as both rabbi and fighter, a union of roles that would define his life, as he took this position that would put him not only on the front lines of the war, but also on the front lines of some of the seminal moments in Jewish history. As we tell the story, we must ponder in our minds what it meant for this man to serve in this rabbinic position in a war zone while also fighting in that very war zone. Rabbi Goren describes the situation for us. Quote, "The terms of the compromise were maintained throughout the siege. I did not want to relinquish my military security role in my position. I continued guarding at night, and during the day I attended to the religious needs of the Jerusalem soldiers. I could not do anything outside of Jerusalem due to the siege. In any case, there was enough work in Jerusalem to keep me very busy. The toughest problem was how to get from one place to another. At that time, the Jordanians and other armies were shelling Jerusalem on a daily basis, and many people were killed in the city's streets. I had to go on foot from one end of the city to the other, and from one position to the other. Even though I had been promised a vehicle, it never materialized, and I found myself walking from one place to the next. I was a foot soldier in the full sense of the word. At night, I could sit in my guard post, from which I fired at the Arab positions. My position held until we captured the Katamon neighborhood." End quote. Thus did Rabbi Goren find himself all over Jerusalem, ministering to the spiritual needs of the soldiers, while also serving at his own military post all night. Rabbi Goren's ministrations were especially important because, as Rabbi Herzog had said to him, he needed to help Jewish Jerusalemites and the Jewish forces within the city prepare for Pesach under siege. Thanks to Operation Nachshon, supplies had reached Jerusalem, but Rabbi Goren had to ensure that all the soldiers serving would have a Pesach prepared. This meant that the kitchens utilized by the soldiers had to be rendered kosher for Passover. Rabbi Goren ensured that yeshiva students from all over Jerusalem would oversee this process. Again, Rabbi Goren writes in his memoir, quote, "I gave a course in our home in Jerusalem. I invited the yeshiva students to come in several groups, and I taught them the kashrut laws. Koshering an army kitchen is a bit different from koshering a personal kitchen, and there were many leniencies that we had to apply," end quote. Rabbi Goren goes on to describe in a fascinating halachic discursus the various decisions that he had to render. One of them was regarding certain types of utensils that usually could only be rendered kosher for Passover by heating them in a fire. Rabbi Goren, in this situation, was more lenient, given the fact that those serving were quite literally under fire. Quote, "We had no dishes for Pesach, and certainly not enough to last for the entire holiday, so I had to teach the students how to kosher dishes for Pesach. I taught them how to use gasoline or rubbing alcohol to kosher utensils that under normal circumstances had to be koshered through fire until they turned white hot. We had to resort to using gasoline because we did not have wood or the other equipment we needed. We also could not wait the usual 2 days between using utensils and koshering them, because they were in use all the time, and we had to be able to kosher them and use them immediately for cooking kosher for Pesach foods, end quote. So Rabbi Goren tells us, with the preparations underway, reinforcements arrived in the city, and a new conflict emerged between the young chief rabbi of the army and the man placed in charge of Jerusalem by Ben-Gurion, Dov Yosef. Supplies, as we mentioned, had indeed come, but the amount of matzot, the unleavened bread eaten all Passover, was not plentiful. Dov Yosef argued that many of those fighting were not observant of Jewish law and therefore should be given chametz, leavened bread, to eat. This proposal to the religious Zionist rabbi that was Shlomo Goren was unthinkable, given the historic nature of what these fighting soldiers embodied. They were part of the first Jewish army fighting for Jerusalem in almost 2,000 years. Rabbi Goren writes, quote, "Shortly before Pesach, Palmach reinforcements came to Jerusalem, led by Yitzhak Sadeh. They were planning to capture the Katamon neighborhood during Pesach and had to finalize their preparations for the mission. Dov Yosef decided that there were not enough matzot for the Palmach and said that they could eat chametz, specifically the biscuits that the British had left behind. He preferred to give the matzot to Jerusalem's civilian population, to the Sephardic ethnic groups who observe Jewish tradition, and to the Haredim. I totally disagreed with his decision and objected vociferously. I could not consent to a situation in which, after 2,000 years of our not having an army, we were finally coming to liberate Jerusalem on Pesach, the festival of our freedom, and we were going to feed our soldiers chametz on Pesach. To me, liberating Jerusalem while eating chametz was completely antithetical. I was outraged and told Dov Yosef in no uncertain terms that I completely disagreed with his opinion. He retorted that he was responsible for the city and as such, he had the authority to make such decisions. There was only one matzah factory in Jerusalem and it had about 2,200 pounds of matzot left, which Dov Yosef had designated for distribution to the civilian population during Chol HaMoed." End quote. Dov Yosef, in other words, wished for the matzot to be reserved for people other than the Palmach soldiers, matzot which would be eaten on Chol HaMoed, the intermediate days of Passover. Rabbi Goren, in a decision that reflected his own approach, decided, as he put it, to take matters into his own hands. Quote, "I told him that I wanted those matzot for the Palmach and the other soldiers in the city. He was completely opposed to my idea, and our argument escalated into a shouting match that ended without a resolution, and I finally took matters into my own hands. I took a few soldiers and two trucks that we managed to commandeer for a few hours. We broke into the matzah factory and loaded the matzot onto the trucks. We took all the matzot to the Palmach, to the headquarters of Yitzhak Sadeh, in Jerusalem's Beit HaKerem neighborhood. I told Sadeh that the Palmach soldiers should at least have the merit of eating matzot on Pesach before going out to battle, and we should not bear the sin of feeding them chametz." End quote. As we read Rabbi Goren's description of Passover in Jerusalem, and we will discuss more aspects of the story tomorrow, in pondering the fascinating tale of these moments, and in thinking about the sharing of food that was taking place in the city, as well as the yeshiva students working to ensure a Passover for everyone in Jerusalem, we can think back to a much earlier episode of Jerusalem 365, to another earlier Passover, that which took place in 70 CE, some 5 months before the temple was destroyed. At that point, with Jews converging on the city for the holiday, the Jewish factions within were fighting each other. Immediately after the observance of the Paschal ritual, the final Roman siege began. And even as Jews fought the Romans outside Jerusalem, a civil war raged among them within, with Jews destroying each other's food supplies. This, Josephus writes, is what brought about the fall of Jerusalem. It was starvation, Josephus tells us, that brought about the Jewish defeat. And this all followed the last Passover in the temple. So many years later, in 1948, the besieged Jewish community in Jerusalem, the Jews of the sacred city, gathered together to celebrate Pesach in love, dedication, and unity. In 70 CE, civil war among Jews led to the burning of food supplies and the starvation of Jews. In 1948, a rabbi of a Jewish army in Jerusalem was ardent in his efforts that fighting soldiers would eat Passover food and fulfill time-honored holiday rituals. Kol dechvin yetevi echol, all that are hungry come and eat. So Jews said for centuries as they held the matzah aloft at the Seder. Praying in persecution, they would soon be free. Suddenly, in 1948, a Jewish army ate matzah as it fought for a free Jerusalem. It was an extraordinary moment, and as we shall see, in Jerusalem, one of the most remarkable seders in Jewish history was about to begin. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.